which comes from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. James says to his readers, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Lord, whose love through humble service bore the weight of human need, who upon the cross forsaken worked your mercy's perfect deed, we, your servants, bring the worship, not a voice alone but heart, consecrating to your purpose every gift that you impart. When I think about service, a few things immediately come to mind for me. The community service hours I am often asked to sign off on for our youth age students. Mission trips that happen once a year. Mission opportunities that are only taken advantage of, really, one or two times a year, particularly around Thanksgiving and Christmas. But when I think about service more deeply, I recognize that this is not something that we are meant to do only for a particular number of hours, or in a particular place, or at a particular time of year. Rather, we understand as Christians that service is part of our spiritual DNA because Christ modeled for us that serving others for God's glory, among other elements of faith we've been talking about lately, is a way of life. It is a component of our being, not an accessory we can choose to put on or take off. Anything about what it means to serve one another, we know because of the one who showed us how it's done. And not only how it's done, but the intent with which it's done. Miss Deborah mentioned a minute ago, we serve because it is in our hearts to do so. Because with our faith, whether we actively think about it this way or not, what we choose to do or not do, who we choose to be or not be, has everything to do with why we are making those decisions. If we're doing what we believe to be righteous and holy, only to appear a certain way to our family, our church, and the society in which we live, we can safely assume that our intent for doing so is not in alignment with who God has created and called us to be. However, if the decisions we make are centered around the identity of Christ and the ways in which Christ calls us to model our own identity as individual disciples and as the church, based on what has been revealed to us in Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection, then perhaps we are headed in the right direction. Honest and humble intent within our being and in our actions is everything when it comes to honestly and transparently living into the journey of faith we are all traveling as individual and collective disciples alike. The writer of the Epistle of James seems to understand this, that the intent which propels our faith matters. It's more than just going through the right motions or saying the right words for the sake of checking off what we think it means to be a Christian boxes. It's about whether or not we're willing to put our money where our mouths are, so to speak. It's about whether we're willing to humble ourselves in order to serve the people God is calling us to serve, and not just serve them for the sake of serving them, but serve them so that they may experience God's love for them as we seek to build ongoing relationships with those we've been called to serve. It's about whether or not we're willing to do the thing, whatever it is at the time, that God is calling us to do in order to live in alignment with who God is and what God does. And that's just it. God does. Though we know there were times Jesus understandably took to be by himself to rejuvenate and to refocus on his ministry and prayer, beyond that, the man never stopped doing for others. Right? Y'all reading the same Bible I am. Mm-hmm. Not for notoriety, not for praise, but simply because that's what God does. He did not walk around talking about how faithful he was. He showed it. He lived it. When Jesus is talking to the mother of James and John in Matthew 20 about what it will take for him to follow Jesus and what he does, he tells her point blank that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Ooh, very good. And to liberate people from the confines of this world. Why does he tell her that? Because he wants to make sure she and her sons who say they want to follow him understand very clearly that this whole discipleship thing is not a frilly kind of gig. This is not a walk around and tell people you run with Jesus and not join in Jesus' mission kind of gig. This is a show up as you are called and instructed to do so by the divine kind of gig. Serving people and freeing people until there's no breath left in our bodies kind of gig. It sounds serious. That's because it is. Serving like the Son of Man was sent to serve is no small feat. It will take all that James and John have to give, just as it takes all that we have to give as well. Because lest we forget, church, we worship a God who meets needs and heals hurts. And we worship a God who expects God's people will do the same in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The persistence God faithfully displays to help and heal creation is mind-boggling to me. It is also mind-boggling to me that God wants us, chooses us to join in God's ministry and mission with him. Like, what? Us? Me? The human ones, the screwed up ones, the always making mistakes one. God wants us to be the ones that join him in his ministry. Yeah, exactly. We're the ones God wants to come along for the ride that is furthering the kingdom. Yes. Absolutely mind-boggling. But then again, so is God's relentlessness when it comes to loving us. Did you know God's love for you is relentless? That it never, ever gives up, no matter what. That kind of persistence and relentlessness when it and help and healing for us and for all people are what James is encouraging his readers to strive toward in their own lives with and for one another. If there's a need among you, meet it, because that's what Christ would do. If there's a hurt among you, heal it, because that's what Christ would do. To call ourselves faithful but be unwilling to participate in the works to which we've been called and given authority to carry out is blasphemous. To ignore that call, that unwillingness to be in alignment with who God is blasphemous. And the same is true for us today. Our whole life, today, tomorrow, always, is intended to be a response to the greatest gift that has ever been given. God's forgiveness of our sins so that we may experience new and eternal life with God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice for all creation. God gave God's self up to the powers of the world that were evil that we might know from then till the end of eternity that real love, that God's love does not fail. It does not give up. It does not abandon. It does not falter. It does not wither. It does not fade. It forever remains. And because that love remains, it is God's intent and imagination that our lives would be a response to that never failing, never ending love. In our relationships with one another as we serve God by serving one another. That response takes so many different forms, and we've talked about some of them as we've walked together in recent weeks revisiting our membership vows. Humble service is most certainly a faithful response to the greatest gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ. In this season of the life of our church, we've been genuinely reflecting and deeply praying about what it really looks like for our lives as individual disciples and as the church community to reflect a faithful response to what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We have explored the why to our what when it comes to a life which consists of following, worshiping, and striving to emulate Christ. We have remembered and given thanks for the faithful prayers, presents, and gifts which have been shared with us by our family and our friends, the foremothers and the forefathers of our faith, some who are sitting in this very room, and that those gifts have helped shape the faithful parts of who we are today. As we continue to explore and evaluate together how we embody faithfulness as United Methodists and, more importantly, as Hilldale United Methodist Church in this season, my prayer is that we will remember that service is not something we do to check a box. Service is not something we are meant to do only for a particular number of hours or in a particular place or at a particular time of year. Service is part of our spiritual DNA because Christ modeled for us that serving others for God's glory is a way of life. It is a component of our being, not an accessory to be put on or taken off. Christ looked out for the people around him using the resources and giftedness he possessed. So my question for us this morning is, how might we do the same as we recommit our entire selves to the work of God in the life of our church? Some of you are already regularly participating in service with one or more of the ministries our church supports. Could you make a commitment to pray this week about how you might take that service to the next level? Could you make a commitment this week to invite someone from our church community to join you in the work you're already doing? Sometimes it's easier to get involved when we know we've got a friend that's going to be there with us. Maybe you're someone who wants to become more involved with a particular ministry but aren't sure where to get started. Could you make the commitment this week to touch base with someone that you know is already serving there? We are here to help each other. Amen? We all on the same page on that? What better way than helping each other dive deeper into a life focused on service? We know why we're here: to serve people to whom Christ was particularly drawn in his ministry. The poor, the weak, the oppressed, the lonely, the sick, the outcast. How will we do this work as God's disciples? How will we do this work as God's church? As we worship, grant us vision till your love's revealing light in its height and depth and greatness dawns upon our quickened sight, making known the needs and burdens your compassion bids us bear, stirring us to tireless striving, your abundant life to share. Amen.